So the premise is, this glimpse is actually the clearing of the clouds to realize who you've always been and who is essentially here in the background all the time, to which we've created this altered state. So we're dehypnotizing from the trance of the ego. We're not hypnotizing, we're not creating a meditation state, we're dehypnotizing. We're returning to the natural condition, which feels like freedom, tastes like quiet, peaceful, loving attention. And then we learn to talk and walk from here. Yeah, question.
So the sense of well-being that we all felt when we started was created or was facilitated by that phrase that you said, imagine there's no problem to solve.
Yeah.
So my little niggly mind over here is saying that's not the case.
Yeah.
There's lots and lots and lots of problems to solve.
Yeah.
And I only was able to have that feeling with the suspension of disbelief and say, well, for right this moment, there's no problem to solve.
Yeah.
But in my life, there's a huge amount of problems to solve.
Yes.
So can we talk about that? Not about mine.
Not really, no, but we won't talk about all the problems you have. No. A couple, maybe. So this is the state. Yeah, so this is the interpretation from system one, from the normal intelligent mind, like, oh, that was a... And actually, the question isn't about all the problems in your life, which are... accept whatever you want to call them, issues, problems, situations, that's fine. They're not, some are not pleasant. And that's not what the question's about. The question's about this problem solver that's primarily about identity. It's trying to solve the problem of who am I, how do I be myself, what's here when there's no problem on that level to solve. Then you discover this sense of well-being, and then as this well-being, come back and embrace issues in your daily life. So it's not an either or. It's a both and it's going to the essential dimension of what's here or who's here when this problem solver's not the center. What's this other operating system like if this isn't the operating system that's held together by its good intention of trying to solve the problem of who I am? You say like, okay, if you stop solving the problem of who I am and just relax, you may discover, oh, here I am. Wow. And then as that unique felt sense of well-being, then you have the capacity to embrace or return to, okay, what's next, whether it's here or you go home from here, and then consider, okay, what do I need to do? What calls do I need to make? Who's the situation at work? Now you're bringing them. You're not changing the contents of consciousness. You're changing who it's appearing to. So you have a new view and a new you that is able to respond rather than react to the issues of the day, which everyone has and will continue to have. Does that help clarify that? Yeah. A couple questions.
I was feeling pretty hypervigilant when I was doing this today.
Yeah.
And everything you said had contextually made a lot of sense, especially in terms of the ego, how I could explain that to patients as a psychotherapist. But I'm thinking about trauma, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
How something got up, brought up for me where I wasn't feeling safe.
Yeah.
And it wasn't about my ego,
mm-hmm.
or maybe all interconnected, right?
Yeah.
But I'm just, I don't know if I have a question, but that's what's come up for me. So what will you have to say with that? Because it has to be, that up for a lot of people who don't feel safe in their bodies all the time.
Sure. So I'll say two things. One is that, if kind of in the beginning of my book and the whole last chapter is bringing this into context of psychotherapy after dealing with neuroscience and wisdom traditions and realizing that there's different parts of us and that are protective of us kind of upgrading because they have a certain defensive system that they're holding together in order to be safe, and that working with that, those parts that come up is important to let them know that, you know, over time what we're doing is like just letting them know, thank you for protecting me, and letting them know, I'm just going to the kitchen to get some food, I'll be right back. And then letting them see, okay, you opened, and I'm a little scared because it's a little wide, and then you came back, and how do you feel now? Oh, I feel good now. Okay, so that's what we're doing here. And then they get on board with this process. And then the second thing to say is that, you know, the tradition, this tradition, there's a tradition of kind of gradual awakening and direct sudden awakening in all traditions, from Zen to Tibetan Buddhism, to Sutra Ma Mudra, which is kind of a Mahayana tradition, to Taoism, and that often in the gradual paths, it's thought, oh, well, you've got to do all this other work before you recognize, and even in some traditions they say, oh, well, most people are not really ready to do this. They're all wet wood, and some people are damp wood, and there's only a few people that are dry wood that really can catch fire on this. And so there's like, so you need to do, you know, 30 years or 3 lifetimes, and then give us a call, you know. But here's the thing, is that my experience working with people, all sorts of people, inpatient, outpatient, psych, and then meeting and working with my colleague, Richard Schwartz, who's developed what he calls internal family systems, we both discover that not only are people with complex trauma available to recognize this, it's what heals them best. So this sense of no self-self, working with somebody, just give a simple little example, somebody inpatient who's anorexic and cutting themselves. So trauma and acting out, and asking them, is there a part of you that wants to hurt yourself? And they say yes. So where is that? Oh, well, it's like right here. Okay, is there a part of you that wants to heal, that wants to feel that you're, you know, your basic goodness? And they kind of go, well, yeah, I guess so. It's like, well, where's that? Well, kind of like in my belly or my heart here. And then just saying, well, who's aware of those two parts? And they go, well, I am. Well, where are you? Well, I'm here. I'm everywhere. And how do you feel toward both those parts? Well, I feel kind of sweet sadness, kind of compassion toward both of us for all the long, hard work. So just that same principle that we're doing is, rather than trying to heal from the smart psychological self, this shift into this already existing loving awareness gives this capacity, you know, not just for advanced students, but for all people. It's a capacity of healing and freedom, and it's available. Does that make sense? Pretty powerful. So why don't we, let me just first just kind of stand up and stretch a little bit, and then we'll take a little break. So almost like you're stretching from this awareness, so you're not really thinking about doing any particular thing, but almost like letting the intelligence kind of micro release, and then feel like you can allow your body to marinate in this awareness, and then kind of feel buoyant, and almost like you're doing some qigong or inner yoga that feels like the intelligence of your body knows how to stretch and So then I'll do this mime version. So we'll just sit down for a second here, and then I'll just do this. Here's the mime summary of what I've been saying all day, and then we can take a break. Yeah. So how many people, like, I don't know what he was talking about in the morning, but that I got. So we'll all do that in the afternoon. We'll get a feel for that. But it's kind of a feeling of moving awareness from everyday mind to subtle body, to heart mind, to this opening, to this more spacious awareness that's already aware by itself. And then feeling that awareness is arising as energy, form, sensation, thought, so that there's this ocean of awareness that's arising here. And then feeling like you're operating from your heart mind, so you've dropped from head to heart, and then you can create and relate to other people from here. And then you feel like this. Yeah.